chapter 4, verses 11 to 31. And you can follow up there on the screen behind me as I go here. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness, or in deceitful scheming. But speaking truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Now this I affirm and I insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to the licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves in a new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away all falsehood, let us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sean. When we first started the service, there's hardly anybody, and now there's a whole bunch. I don't get to see when I'm up front here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the effort that everyone has made to come today in the midst of the weather conditions. It really is a privilege that we can come and worship you. Lord, thank you for the music, the prayers. And now as we look into your word, I pray that you would challenge us. Open our hearts and direct us as individuals and, Lord, as a church body, that we would indeed follow your will, your way for our lives. Pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. The text here from the book of Ephesians is part of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote while he was in prison in Rome. He had received word that the growth process of the church at Ephesus had been hindered. So he provides the church with a vision, giving them a glimpse of who they are, where they've come from, and where they are going. His letter not only helped them, but it helps us as the Christian church today to have a vision for which we can continually grow. It is an important message for us. As we began this new year, and I was praying about all of it, I really had a sense of God's vision for us as a church for 2017, a vision of what we are to be about, where our focus is to be. And it leads into verse 17 here in Ephesians 4, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The Apostle Paul notes how that God has given us gifts for the building up of the body of Christ in order for us to grow. Growth is important. You know, ever hear someone say, grow up? Usually it's not said in a very nice tone of voice, but growing up is necessary. As some of you will know, John and Alpha Anderson, they had a baby that was born the beginning of December, and it was a bit of a rough go at first. She had some hindrances to her growth. She's doing fine now. She's cute as a little button. But those things had to be corrected, or there would have been serious effects. Sometimes when growth doesn't occur, it's due to some deficiency. There are people who grow normally, but then they stop growing. The shortest man in the world today is just 2 feet 8 inches tall. His pituitary gland ceased to produce hormones for continued growth. And then there's another end to this extreme. The tallest man on record grew to be 8 feet and 11 inches tall. But his internal organs couldn't keep up with the rapid growth, and he unfortunately died as a result. Growth is a process. And Paul is telling the church in Ephesus that they need to grow up. He says, grow up into him in all things. Paul notes that some of the gifts given to the church are pastors and teachers. The purpose being, as it says in verse 14, we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. We need to keep growing in our understanding of God, knowing more of who he is, what his word says, and what it means for us today. Imagine a first grader at the end of their first year of school saying, okay, I've got my education. It isn't enough. It's just a start. It's like babies not progressing on to solid food, just being content with milk. You can't thrive and grow on that. When we don't continue to grow, the image that Paul presents is that of being tossed and blown about. It's an image of being in a boat with waves coming against you, no rudder, and the wind just taking you wherever it wants. It's a scary place to be. You can feel helpless, and you can end up in a disastrous situation. And Paul says to them in verse 17, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives. There are lots of messages that we receive today from a variety of sources. And if we are not growing in our understanding of God's truth, we are vulnerable to all kinds of things that can take us away from where God wants us to be. As we learn the teachings in God's word, they can then have their full effect on our lives. We need to grow up in our thinking. And verse 23 says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. It's not just our minds that need to grow, but our hearts. Our hearts need to be open, allowing the Spirit to renew, not just our thoughts, but what is going on in our heart. Paul lists humility, gentleness, patience, love, being truthful, caring, all things that come from the heart. I heard recently that one of the biggest problems that people have today is anxiety. And that's not surprising, especially with all that we here going on in the world today. Time magazine just had an article that was entitled, It All Looks As If the World Is Preparing for War. And the comment was made that the burden of fear is felt by millions of people. It is a scary time. But such psychological distress is not good for us. And Paul counsels us in Philippians 4:6, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Peter advised us, cast all your anxieties on God because he cares for you. Fear, anxiety, and worry, they all hold us back, preventing us from growing in Christ. We need to move from that place of just hearing about God's love to trusting and then living out of that relationship, approaching him with confidence, knowing his embrace. And Paul goes on to say, speaking the truth in love. God wants us to bring the truth and love together. The way we live matters. Verse 19 is so fitting in this day and age. It says, they have hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure. When we lose sensitivity to God and fellowship with him, we give ourselves over to trivialities and diversions. Growth needs to happen in the way that we live. Verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. He tells us to give generously to others, to be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. A relationship with God cannot be separated from a relationship with one another. Insensitivity and hostility are not acceptable. We have received grace and forgiveness, and we are to show these qualities to others. We are called to obedience, living a life of truth and love. In this chapter, Paul states all these things through opposition, you know, futility versus truth, darkened and ignorance versus taught, impurity versus righteousness and holiness, corrupt versus a new creation, separated from the life of God versus created to be like God. Unfortunately, as churches, we can get caught up in emphasizing just one of these areas. And to give you a picture of what this looks like, and then the resulting outcome, I want to describe three people to you. And these are taken from a book by Dennis Hollinger. The first is a man named Jeff. He was a thoughtful Christian. He grew up in a secular home that had no time for religion. But during high school, he came to faith in Christ. Because his family and his friends criticized him for his beliefs and his commitment, he began to seek answers to those hard questions that were thrown at him. And by the time he graduated from university, he had read and studied, and he knew what he believed and why he believed it. Christians on campus often found help through his philosophical and theological responses to really tough issues. But even with all this intellectual study, there were elements of a vital faith that just seemed to be missing in his life. Personal prayer, spiritual disciplines, and fellowship with others became a low priority in his life. And in his zeal to defend the faith against skeptics, he sometimes showed a lack of compassion and care for people. Jeff had what we might call a faith of the head. And unfortunately, that's where it ended. The next person is Christina. She was a middle-aged woman with a faith expression very different from that of Jeff's. Her faith was not so much about beliefs, but rather about a vibrant inner experience and deep emotion. In worship, she exuded enthusiasm. She felt her faith in Christ, and the Holy Spirit was continually speaking to the depth of her being. She read her Bible, emphasizing that it was not for knowledge, but more for, you know, a spiritual zap, seeking the word to move her heart and feel the presence and power of God. But there were aspects in Christina's life that caused some to wonder. At one point, she had a very emotional experience where she thought she was to do something, but friends and those in the church thought, boy, that was really questionable from a biblical standpoint. Christina had a faith that we might call a faith of the heart. was vibrant and alive at one level, but never seemed to go beyond the emotional side of life. Her inner passions alone were what dictated her actions. The third person I want to note is Jennifer. She had a kind of faith very different from either Christina's or Jeff's. She'd grown up in a home and church that emphasized solid biblical teaching and personal holiness. But when she went off to college, she was exposed to new way of doing things and began to react to all this. She didn't reject her faith, but believed it needed to be in a radically different form. For Jennifer, action was what it was all about. She came to believe that the point was not primarily about understanding the faith, and certainly not to feel it emotionally. The whole point of following Jesus was what you were to do. Acts of justice and compassion were her focus. She became involved in programs of social justice, attempted to help in areas of environment and race and poverty. She wanted to give hands and feet to her belief in Jesus. But there were some parts missing in Jennifer's faith. When she was home visiting some friends, she confessed to a childhood friend that she did little to nurture her spirituality. She had minimal time for her local church, and most of her reading now focused on social issues. She commented, "I just don't find theology to be helpful to the causes." Jennifer's life reflected faith in action, what we may call a faith of the hands. The example of these three people reflect three types of faith: head, heart, and hands. Those oriented toward the head have said that if we get our biblical and theological knowledge down, well, that will really put us in the right spot for our lives. The heart-oriented people say that if our hearts are strangely warmed by God, that will develop Christian maturity. And then others focus more on the action side, that it's what we do that counts most. When you look back over church history, you can see how churches and movements have tended to emphasize one approach, often in response to the other. So some, like Jeff, have accentuated the head. Others, like Christina, have focused on the heart. And others, like Jennifer, have made hands the priority. You could probably even think of slotting in different denominations in those places. Taken alone, you can see they are inadequate. When we separate thought, passion, and action, we are in conflict with how God made us. We are created whole people with all these aspects working together. If we are to grow in the fullness of Christ, it needs to be inclusive of all these areas. By themselves, none of them can do justice to the rich understanding of biblical faith that God offers us. When we take these alone, we really become fragmented. Fragmented in ourselves and in our church. What we need is a whole faith of the head, heart, and hands, with each dimension feeding and sustaining the others. A holistic faith. Without the head, the claims about God are meaningless. Without the heart, some claims are just talk. Without the hands, such claims have no life and reality in everyday existence. This is the vision that I have for us as we enter into 2017, that we would be the people of God seeking to be whole in head, heart, and hands. That this would be the filter for what we look at for all the things that we're doing, trying to make sure that we are balanced and bringing all these areas into our life of faith. And we'll talk a little bit more about this when we have our AGM. But here are just a few things to note. As we consider the area of head, the next sermon series is going to be on core Christianity, looking at key theological themes through Scripture, looking at who Jesus is, what's the Trinity? What about sin? We need to understand what we believe. And then the series will also, it's taken from a book, so there will be study guides that will be a resource that's available for small groups to take this to a deeper level. For the heart, we need to be in places where we can share and encourage one another. Small groups are a good way to do that. We need to be growing in our emotions. We need more times of prayer, connecting our head and heart, cultivating spiritual intimacy in prayer, where we not only talk to God at a heart level, but listening to God and experiencing His presence. Growing in our worship so it's emotionally alive, allowing space and time to experience God's presence. For hands, there are some great things that we are doing, but we need to increase in what we are doing. Today, as Sigrid has mentioned, we'll have a meeting about Stephen Ministries. That's a great way to be able to connect hand and heart. We heard from Madge a few weeks ago. Should we be considering sponsoring a refugee family? Are there other ministry opportunities that we can explore? We cannot do everything. So we need to see, who is it that God has brought to this church? What gifts and passions has He placed in you? This passage is all about the whole body of Christ and each member coming to maturity. The main point is people having their roles and gifts so that every single Christian may be equipped in building up the body of Christ. We each have a place enabling the body to function as a whole. I so value the prayer letter that Don Anderson puts together. And this week, he actually prefaced it by quoting from Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, where it says, "Grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work." And then Don went on to comment, yes, the vision of the church is still about salvation. But evangelism without love and a loving community is hypocrisy. May God enable all of it to continue to strive to be that community, rooted and grounded in love, that is open to be a home for the lost and the weary who are flying by looking for the rest. The text here in Ephesians calls the Ephesian church and calls us to a whole new pattern of life, seeking to be God's whole people in head, heart, and hand. Our minds are to be brought into harmony with God's design and truth. Our hearts are to experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And our actions are to reflect the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Our faith involves our intellect, knowing what we believe with truthful thinking. It involves deep passions of the heart, and it involves actions. In this next year, may we grow up, not just in our head, but in our hands and our hearts, in every way, seeking to be whole in Christ, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, You call us to love You, to follow You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We do need to grow up in You. It's a continual process. And I pray that You would help us on this journey, that as a church we wouldn't just focus on one thing, but that we would pay attention to each area of this, of the head, the heart, and the hands. Lord, would You stir up the gifts that You have placed within this church to see how we can fulfill the mission in these areas and to grow in ways in order that we would be healthy and that we would be full of love. In Your precious name, amen.